A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
MSW Media.
Hi, I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
We are Frangela, and welcome to The Final Word!
The Final Word with Frangela!
The Final Word.
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 Guess who's healthier?
Yay! Thank you for joining us here in the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network and MSW Media.
Because you have wonderful taste and you're intelligent and your mama was good looking.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Dude, and your daddy's rich.
Yeah, baby. That's right.
That's how it works. Okay.
That's how it works.
I want to thank those of you who support us as Patreon subscribers. Woo! thank you. And I we can't say it enough. It means everything. It's what keeps us afloat in these very difficult times, and it is Black History Month.
Yes. And I just want to say again thank you for the grace of your kindness. Because of that, we get to do what we are, I believe, put on this earth to do, which is make you laugh, think, explore, whatever, all of it. But, you know, thank you. Because of what you do, we can do what we do. So thank you so much. And to say thank you, you know what we do, Angela?
Do we give, like, 3 micro idiots a week?
We sure do.
That's what I thought.
They come from the stupid stack, and it's a super secret stack, too. And you know what somebody called and asked us this weekend to do?
What?
For Cameo, they asked for a private idiot. And I was like,
yes.
Yes. Okay, so you can even do that.
Well, you're private stupid. You're stupid for money.
You so can go to cameo.com.
That's one of my favorite Tina Turner songs because it's so, like, sort of weirdly in your face. It's like, private dancer.
It is so in your face. And you know what? And I'm going to tell you something. That song, like, does things to me. Dancer for money.
I defy you to listen to the song and not, like, lower your chin into your chest and, like, mess with your shoulders like you think you're Catwoman. You know, I'm a private dancer. And you just can't do it. It's just the only way to experience the song. So thank you. So that's a great cameo.
This show is off the rails already.
Already.
Here we go. Already. Then go to sexyliberal.com because we have incredible news that is coming up. So you want to be on the tip of the spear for that.
I would recommend checking in there weekly because we can't even tell you what's coming. But stuff is coming, y'all. It is coming. And I mean for real.
Yes. And speaking of for real, join us every Friday in the third hour of the Stephanie Miller Show for Fridays with Frangela, where we make it the blackest hour in radio.
It just is. Stephanie Miller, I mean, the blackness she brings.
Oh, my God.
You know, it is. It's hard to describe.
First up, we have Fannie Willis may testify at misconduct hearing in Trump's Georgia election case. You know what? I think that they should really rename this to, we want to go dig in a black woman's panties to embarrass her and to let her know that she got up out of her place and where her place truly is.
Yep. How dare you step to these white people?
That's right, which is under our heel. There is no place for you to hide. You think that you gonna come at us with ethics, or we gonna go so deep into your womb and we're gonna find out, we're gonna teach you about ethics. That's what this is about.
You know, there are a lot of issues. I was watching this morning. I did miss the woman who is suggesting former employee, Robin Bryant Yerty. She testified apparently that she believes their relationship started after October, shortly after October 2019, that which is contrary to what Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade have said, which, you know, that seems to be the only real issue here, because anyway, I'll just say this. One of the problems here, and I don't exactly know how to deal with it, is cameras and the high profileness of everything. Because when watching the testimony today that I watched from Mr. Wade, what became clear to me is that trials, to some extent, whether or not there's a camera in the room, there's a bit of theater, you know?
Yes.
And the theater is, the prosecutors act like they don't know things they know, you know, because, that's just sort of how the system adjudicates, how it gets to the so-called truth. But the reality is that because of the people involved in this case, and I think because of the ethnicity of the people involved in this part of this case, the Trump case, the, you know, fake electors, the problem here is that there's no way to get these people to see how that imbues everything, you know, how race imbues. They refuse to see that or acknowledge that. And yet we sit in a situation where I'm watching people engage in theatrics, the judge included, because there are cameras there. And the problem with that is that that isn't about getting at that truth. That's about giving impressions. So then before we get into what actually happened, when they cut away and take a break so they can go to the commentators, to the bane of my very existence, it's during Andrea Mitchell's time.
Oh, Lord.
So they get on there and they start from an assumption of guilt. And they go, well, this looks pretty bad. Now, mind you, you know, we'll get into the fact whether or not it did, but it looked pretty bad because so far the only things that's been presented is the prosecution side.
Right.
Yeah, that looks bad during the prosecution side. It looks bad. But they go on as if this is a done deal. And in fact, several commentators have already said this is a done, they need to be off of this case.
Oh, that's
I'm
right.
Like, but nothing, they haven't defended themselves yet. Like, there's no.
Here is the problem. And the fact that they, this is, let's talk about the fact of, let's be honest, they've already won. To be able
to get the trial,
to get this trial, to have this discussion, they've won. And so for me, we all have to acknowledge where we are in this fight, right? Not where we would like to be. The reality is that the other side can put a tick on their side because they have been able to muddy this water. And because, you know, because here's the other thing. It's like to be, and we go back to this discussion of what is equivalent, right? There's no equivalency of a relationship she may or may not, or did or did not, or when and when not had inside of her office that is equivalent to the fact of the President of the United States calling down to Georgia, asking them to help him steal an election.
Yep. Coordinating and facilitating a attempt. And the actual presentation of false documents, false identification to the government to try to steal people's votes.
Yep. And so here we are, you know, and it disgusts me that the way that they, you know, come at Black people is sexual. You know what I mean? You know, there's this Mandingo, sexual, jungle cat thing that really
it taps into that for
it
sure.
It taps absolutely in the South too.
It's really hard for me to even take it seriously when I have to look at a Supreme Court justice whose wife was involved in this insurrection.
And while he feels completely fine not to recuse himself,
that's right.
And nobody is out here in these fucking streets
talking about it. No, having panels on it. And the reality is that the financial compensation that we know that Judge Thomas received for trials that have happened, that were people were, they were people giving him money who had court cases before the court. So, but we're not, here's the problem with riding dirty. And I'm not saying that anybody rode dirty here. The reality is, if you get pulled over illegally, it's an illegal stop, right? But if during that stop you shoot a cop, you're going to get charged with shooting that cop.
That's right.
You know, like, now, you may have some other things happen, but the reality is, while there are some places, and of course, we're not attorneys, but while there are some places where evidence gets thrown out, it can't be used against you. In this case, this is about the cameras. And this is about what it does to people's perception. And that really pisses me off, because it shouldn't be about that. It should be about justice and about the crime these people are allegedly being charged, you know, these that they're allegedly committing or that they're being charged with. And if you can't prove that, then you can't prove that. Whether or not, you know, and in terms of whether or not there's the sort of an ethical issue around the look of impropriety, well, that, I believe, falls under the jurisdiction of whatever the law entity that oversees lawyers there is, the Bar Association, or however that gets dealt with lawyers' behaviors or the prosecutor's behavior in that way. But it's just watching this, what I saw was, first of all, some pretty bad lawyering. Like, I was texting Francis, I'm like, one of the questions that this prosecuting attorney asked was, did all of the Tennessee excursions take place in Tennessee? And Nathan Wade paused, thought about it, and said, yes. Because she's digging around. And the judge even said that. The judge was like, if you're going to just be exploring around. After you know, his attorneys kept objecting, relevance, all that. He said, you're just exploring around. And the prosecuting attorney kept introducing documents. Like, she hands him 1,000 pages, she says. And I don't think it was 1,000, but 1,000 pages of something, and then asked him, did you spend some very precise number, $1,212 on this? And he starts looking through it. She goes, well, I'm not asking from your memory. And I'm like, well, then why did you hand him the documents? And why? She kept, basically, her theatrics were around making it look like he was refusing to answer, or his prevaricating in some way, obfuscating in some way with his answers. But the answers, he's on the stand, and of course he's a lawyer, which I believe the judge held against him. The judge's position, and the judge said it more than once in different ways, he can figure it out. When his attorney's objected, he can handle himself. That he's not there to handle himself. That's why he has an attorney. Yeah, like that. But the judge literally said at one point, he can let him figure it out. Like, and I was like, this is insane. He doesn't get the same protections.
That's
like,
right.
It's so, but watching it, you know, and then literally this attorney hands him this 1,000, she called it 1,000 pages of documents. And as he looks through them to verify an answer, she says, I'm not asking you to go through 1,000 pages of documents. Then why did you hand it to him? You handed it to him because it's a prop, because you wanted the cameras to record this huge pile that looks like, and that you are calling evidence, which, by the way, she didn't introduce properly. And the judge had to talk her through that. So you introduce this document, then ask him a very precise question in it, then get frustrated and act like he's not answering. Then when he starts to answer, she interrupts him to the point where his attorney has to say, can he answer the question? He starts to answer the question. She asks it again 10 more times in the exact same way. His attorney say, answered and asked. And he's like, well, she can ask it again. He, like, all of this is about creating an impression that there are all these things that look funny, or all these things that look improper, or all these things. And it's not. It's the same thing over and over and over again. And he keeps answering it. She kept asking questioning him about using some other man's credit card. And he said every time, ma'am, I've never used someone else's credit card. And then her next question would be, so when you used his credit card, did you pay him back in cash? And he'd say, ma'am, I've never used anyone's credit card. Like, it is the most ridiculous form of bad lawyering, badgering, and ridiculousness. And the whole point we're here, the charge is that Fannie Willis received some sort of compensation that obviously would be illegal for putting her lover on the case. The lover thing is just, that's why, right? Because she liked him, you know? But now, what they're hoping, because of this woman, Robin Bryant Yurdie's testimony earlier on Thursday, now what they're saying the issue is, now the issue is, did they lie about when the relationship started?
Right.
And that it's just ridiculous to me.
It's Hunter Biden's laptop. Mm-hmm.
We don't have to have it. We don't need the proof. We'll try to find it as we're questioning you.
That's right.
On the stand.
We're going to go digging in her panties and see what shakes out, what shakes loose. Cause there's gotta be something in there because everybody's got some dirty laundry somewhere. And that is what I'm watching.
Yep. Then she starts throwing in pieces of information that are nobody's business. She's like, was that where you went to the on a trip to Belize? She's like, and that's where you went to the tattoo parlor. And he's like, tattoo parlor. And he goes, no. And then she just moves on. It's like, it's this insinuation.
That's right.
It's all a bunch of insinuations without any proof behind it. And just keep him on the stand as long as you can. Try to get him to say something that isn't true. And literally, I think she only really asked four questions. She just kept asking them and they allowed her to do that. And so it got really, 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 really frustrating when he can't find the proof. Nathan Wade wasn't able to find what she was asking him to verify. And then she walked up to the stand and she couldn't find it.
Yep.
And she said, well, you know, it's very small. It's hard to read, and walks away. And I'm like, what are we doing? She then admits to the judge that she hasn't looked at all of something, and so they take a break. I'm like, wait, what?
Is this how, you know what? When you showed up for a test in high school and you didn't have the answer, what you were allowed to do was turn to the teacher and say, hey, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to go out here in the hallway.
Yes, Ms. Callier.
Okay. I'm gonna go out in the hallway. I'm gonna pull out the book to the class.
Well, we have a test right now, Miss.
You know what? You know what? Which I am not asking that you stop it. Saying, what I'm going to do is go out in the hallway, look up the answer, and come back and put the answer that I know is correct into the slot. Okay, I'll see you in a minute.
No, that's not.
Be well. Be well.
That's not how this works. I love the be well. Be well. Like this has been decided. Be
well. Be well.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
I'm telling you, but that's how I ran my game in high school. Okay.
Well, this is the thing. This is I'm gonna tell you, like, watching this, I was like, why isn't Francis a lawyer?
I'm telling you, that's how I ran my game.
Because this is the best lawyering, best non-lawyer lawyering. I think that all of that aside, on the DL in the quiet of night after dinner when we're all sitting around, I gotta look at Fannie and go, girl, what was you thinking, girl? Come on now. You could have hired his partner. You could have hired. Why the fuck would you? I know he's good. I know you all this. But none of that matters. And you know that. You know it doesn't matter. You know who you are and you know who these people are. And although we all know you didn't get no kickback money, and then we all know that there's nothing really wrong here, you know better. And it just... And I do not like saying this. That's why I say it in the quiet of night, alone, just with all you, all of our other Black people, all you listening. Mm-hmm. Like, because for this period of time, you are, in fact, with us. This, I just, you know, Francis, and it's frustrating because is it fair? Absolutely not. But nobody promised us fair. It's just the way it is. Your shit has to be hyper correct. And I feel like an old crotchety black person saying this. I really do.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I really do believe that she believed that that relationship was on the DL.
You can't be that stupid.
And I believe, let me tell you something. People do not understand. And, you know, and I think that, and this goes back to, now this is me taking a step away, and these are my opinions. When people have office romances, they really do not understand that people can see you two vibing.
This is my thing, Francis. And you know what? You probably know what I'm about to say. Everybody, I want you all, if you have some time to watch next time when you see Garrett Haig talking to Katie Turr, I believe deep in my soul.
I mean, she says it every time.
That they have hooked up. Or that they have come dang close. Okay. Or lingering. They are both on assignment, lingering a little too long outside of somebody's hotel room door. A little too long to say goodnight and just going, goodnight.
Here's the thing. They shouldn't have each had that third drink.
I'm telling you, if you watch them, you can see it. It's just they both look down in a way. You'll see it if you look. Tell me if you agree with me.
This is what I'm saying. People do not understand.
You know, I'm going to ask her when we meet her. When we meet her one day, I'm going to ask her.
I know you will. I know you will. People do not understand that you are giving. We are, humans are vibratory beings. And when you are vibing with somebody, other people pick up on your vibes.
You and what's his name?
Matt Lauer.
Matt Lauer.
Ooh. Oh my God.
Is that his name, Matt Lauer?
Oh yeah, Matt Lauer.
My brain has deleted him, me too'd him out. We went and did the show. Is that the Today Show or the Today Show?
Yeah.
And we were in the makeup room and Matt Lauer walked in to say hi to everybody. And he and Francis, their eyes locked. And he said, because he'd been done with, like, oh, hey, everybody. Hey, good. We're going to see you later. Yeah. And they looked at each other and he went, hello. And Francis went, hello. And then it was a beat. And then he walked out. And the minute he walked out, all of us, and it was all women in the room, I believe, all of us went, oh, I was like, girl, that's close to cheating. What I just saw. Oh, that was so close to cheating. Oh, because you felt it. It was so palpable.
It was like
y'all just grinded on all of us. We were like, oh my God, I'm not ready. You haven't bought me a drink. You haven't bought me no appetizer. I'm not ready.
It's 7 a.m.
I don't even have my good panties on. I didn't think this was going to happen today. Oh, I haven't shaved my legs. Oh, I was like, it was so raw. And that's my problem here with Fanny.
Yeah.
Because I have a feeling.
Yeah.
And you can tell he got Mac. You can tell that.
Yeah.
I'm looking up on the stand. He got that little sly smile. I was like, oh, you got some. Look at you. Look at you.
And what I guarantee you is that the bringing him on is her way of not looking hurt in the relationship.
Oh, you think so? I don't think it has anything to do with the relationship. I think the way that these court things work is that that firm's been hired before by the DA office. It's not, you know, I don't know that there's anything in it besides what happens, which is the people you date are the people in your profession. They don't work in the same office. They don't work together necessarily ever, really. And so his firm has been used, or the people he works with in the firm have been used several times. And there's really no, and there's two other people, law firms on this case also. Like, I don't think that there's anything in that. I don't think that the problem is that they have in fact been dating since he got divorced. It sounds like, I don't know if they still are. I wouldn't care.
Right.
But the problem is that this is a case involving these very high profile rich white people. And, yep. and that now becomes just like whether you're, you know,
do you think that they would have gone in hard if this person had been white?
I don't think we'd know about it.
If the it's same thing, same relationship, same, do you think that they've gone in on a white attorney like they have on this black attorney?
No.
That to me
I can't prove that. That's not a defense. That's the problem. Like I said, with writing dirty.
I want to know your opinion.
My opinion is absolutely not. I think the fact that she's a black woman is all through is that what this is about entirely.
Me too.
You know, and unfortunately, there is a relationship here, and there was that. And Andrea Mitchell misspoke. She said that they both denied it. I don't remember them denying this relationship.
No, I don't think
either. They just didn't affirm it. But they never, to my knowledge, never publicly or otherwise denied having it. They just didn't affirm it either. And that was, an egregious misspeak on her part.
You know what? I think that it is time for this public announcement. And I didn't think we needed to do it anymore after Me Too.
Well, what's the point?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, you mean in general?
In general? But don't shit where you eat, okay?
Well, here's the thing. There are ways around, if this was the, and I don't doubt that these are great attorneys. But you just can't use him on this one. Or you got to use one of his partners if they're, you know, assuming that his partner, the person he still works with, is great too. Or, you know, they've used those people before. And it's just, it's one of those things where you're like, I just, you know, privately, Fanny, like, come on, girl. Like, you don't need this to be the thing that mars your stellar career. Because it's not, it shouldn't, it's nothing. It isn't. But you know, it's.
But they're gonna make it something.
Yeah, and that's you know.
And here's the other thing too, is what I am witnessing, is a lynching, a dragging, a public dragging of her career, of her sex and sexuality, of her blackness, of how dare you. And I'm watching her career and all those things be lynched.
It's just really frustrating, you know, because there's an assumption of innocence, right?
Yeah.
And they're not being given it.
Well,
so
this
far,
is the
we've
thing.
Heard only this one woman who's a former employee. I don't know what that means. I don't know any. Yeah. I wasn't able to even see her testimony today. But it's, you know, to act like to have the punditry already spinning, you would think from the brief amount that I was able to watch before we started recording, it sounds like this is a goner and she needs to recuse herself before the end of the day. Like, but they haven't defended themselves and there's only been these two witnesses and they're not even done. And it's like, it's really frustrating. It's like they're calling a race. It's like calling the game in the first quarter before it's over and going, okay, well the Tigers have won this, so I'm out.
Angela.
Or that wouldn't be the Tigers. That would be like the Lions.
They called this game 2 weeks ago when this story came out, and they told her to recuse herself. And the fact that, and this, I said this off air, but the fact that we are digging through her panties before the president of the United States, who committed way many more crimes against this country and against millions of people, we can't get that motherfucker into a courtroom. Barely.
Yeah, they've picked the date for the hush money case of all the indictments. That's the hush money indictments, y'all. Turn to that page in your notebook.
Yeah.
It's for March 25th.
Yes.
Thankfully, but it's, you know, I do. I'm annoyed by her. I'm annoyed by the fact that she's put this case in this position. But I also do not think that, I think this is a nothing burger, even if they somehow find the relationship. Because what does relationship start? We get into this whole, I did not have sex with that woman kind of thing.
That's right.
That's what we are. For me, this also solidifies is why it's important to keep a journal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you don't keep a journal, maybe you should. All right. Because that actually could be evidence. You could bring in your journal, if you're a regular journaler, and argue that you put in the day you... St- this is, we went on our first date, we kissed, whatever. You would have some, because other than that, and other than when or wherever you chose to tell someone, you know, whoever you might have chosen to tell, if you told anyone, there's no, I don't know what you do here. I don't know how you defend yourself outside of, you do not put yourself in this situation.
Well, and here's the other thing is, you know, this milk has been spilt.
Yeah.
There's no cleaning it up. There's no soaking it up. There's no putting it back in the jar. It won't be clean again. So they said it 2 weeks ago. Now we're at the trial. What we can basically do maybe is clean up some of our, you know, image, but that's not going to help you. I'm going to tell you, anybody and everybody who is looking for an off road against this case will take this as its route.
They absolutely, absolutely. You have just endangered,
you know,
every single part of this prosecution, which is a really important one of all of the, they're all important, obviously, but these people, this is a conspiracy.
Yeah.
This is a conspiracy to disenfranchise Black people.
Yeah.
Like, that is, like, at it's so important. I'm livid that it's happening. I'm sick of it happening. But why did you do this, Fanny? Why?
Yeah. Changing gears, Chiefs Super Bowl rally shooting leaves one dead and multiple people injured. You know, you know what my first response was? And I was ashamed of myself. I said, this is why we can't have nice things.
Really?
Yeah.
Why were you ashamed of yourself?
Because people were shot. It was a mass shooting.
Oh, do you feel that was too glib?
That was the first place my emotions went to. Not to the people, not to what a horrible event. It was, you know, that tells me.
Yeah, that you've become sort of deadened to the.
Deadened to it.
Yeah, you can't be shocked by it.
Yeah. And and the first place I go to is we need gun reforms.
But really,
my first place should be to the humans.
Well, I would argue that thinking about gun reforms is to the humans because there's no reason for things like this to happen.
No.
This isn't even a gangland shooting. This isn't even, you know, people in the midst of some criminal activity getting shot. This is people, everything about it is supposed to be upbeat. There's no reason to even have weapons there other than the fact that you're allowed to, because the Missouri gun laws are crap. That residents aren't required to have a state permit or licensing before buying or owning rifles, shotguns, or handguns.
Well, you know what? And I'm going to tell you.
That's why there's one dead and 22 people, you know, injured.
Lisa Lopez, a DJ. You know, this is the thing that really, you know, I fight against, which is there's that snarky, shitty person inside of me that wants to turn to everybody in Missouri and go, you must have wanted everybody to be shot. Those was your laws.
Yeah.
You invited everybody out to be out to stand out there like a pen of potential, you know, birds to be shot. And you let it happen. To me, if I lived in that state, I would turn to my neighbor and say, we cannot have another fucking gut gathering until we protect the people who show up. You can't say that we want to gather together as a public and not provide any protection to those people. Then you're just inviting them to their deaths. That's not a celebration. That's an invitation to die.
It's. I feel like we can turn that. I hear what you're saying about your feelings about saying it, but we can turn that on all of us. I mean, that is critique of all of us, because we have better gun laws in California, but it doesn't matter as long as they don't in Nevada or wherever else. And you know, like, what we need are laws and gun control, and we need that at a federal level, and we need it in every state to be the same, you know.
Yes.
And every state, you know, there's nobody. Yes, there are states where it is the lack of gun laws is egregious. But this is the 48th or 45th? 48th mass shooting so far this year. It's the middle of February.
Yeah.
We're all on the hook for this. It's disgusting that we allow our children to have gun drills, you know, mass shooting mm-hmm. drills. It's disgusting that they, from memory, like almost from muscle memory because of these drills, know what to do. It is disgusting that we continually get shown the same thing and don't change what we're doing in response to it.
Did you see the story of one of the Kansas City football people during the shots? People were grabbing him, trying to put him into, you know, a safety room. He's like, he looks over, he sees this one little boy who's alone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he grabs him. He's like six. And he's like, don't worry, buddy, we got you, you know? And he's like, you're coming with us. You're coming into this closet with us. Mm-hmm. And he just couldn't believe that he had to do that.
Yeah.
You know, this is all about celebrating. We won the Super Bowl. Isn't that great? It's this pride. Who cares? You know, Taylor Swift and, you know, her boyfriend and all of this and all of that. And all of it shot to fucking hell in one fucking second. Why?
You're right, though, Francis. We can't have nice things.
We can't have fucking nice things. And I want this. Let me tell you something. We need to be able to come together. There are so few things. We can't come together about politics. But here's the problem. Because we can't come together about politics, we can't come together and celebrate the Chiefs Super Bowl rally because people aren't safe, because we can't come together about politics. But we want to sit here and tell people continuously in this life that the only thing that you can talk about is sports. No, you can't fucking talk about sports because you get shot at the fucking Super Bowl rally.
Thank you. And in truth, we don't have to come together. We just have to win and bring up legislation and vote for it. That's what we need to do. We need to put people in office who will, no matter how loud that smaller percentage of the country gets, put their legislation and vote yes on it. That
yes.
restricts, or in my view, gets rid of gun ownership. Like that is what we have to do. They don't have to like it. They don't have to agree. You know, but what we do have to do is convince enough people to vote for candidates who will do that and then demand those candidates do it. And it's just that's all.
It's that simple. But and here's the thing, Angela. I will take. You need a motherfucking license and a box with a lock on the shit. I will take that.
I will take licensing at the level that we make you go through to drive a car.
Me too. That's what I'm saying.
Not AR-15s. No automatics. None
no
of that
automatics.
Bullshit. And I got a real question about handguns too. But I, you know, seriously, like...
And I need a red flag laws. I need to know that if you have a mental health problem of any sort.
Or if you have, you know, been convicted of domestic violence.
That's right. That too. If you a bitch that can't keep your feelings in check at times, hell no. You don't deserve a motherfucking piece.
Thank you. And we'll be right back with these messages.
Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you.
All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz, which is actually kind of fun, and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new to you styles.
You guys understand what our lives look like. We are on tour. We are on television. We are hosting events. We can't be seen in the same top dress all the time. And Armoire makes our lives easy. We're able to show up looking amazing. And let me tell you something. We are hardworking women and over 45. So, you know, we got to, you know, look good, okay?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, we all know the feeling, right? You open your closet, it is full, but you quite literally have nothing to wear. Enter Armoire. Armoire allows you to rent high-quality designer clothing for every occasion. Whether you're planning your outfit for a date night, packing for a conference, or in need of a gown for a black tie event, which is like an extinction-level event for me, you will be the best-dressed person in the room without ever having to brave a fitting room with fluorescent lights.
And we all know how we feel about those. Oh, did we mention that Armoire is also woman-founded and woman-led, okay? Like us, okay? They even spotlight women-owned designers on their website. So we know we're wearing brands that are aligned with our values. We love that we can support a business that is built by women like us. And if you are ready to have your dream closet delivered to your door, you must try Armoire. We promise you will never, ever be without the perfect outfit for any occasion ever again.
That's right. And right now, our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/Frangela.
That is armoire.style. Again, that's armoire.style/Frangela to get up to 50% off your first month and never ever worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. Are you going through menopause or perimenopause? Let me tell you, the struggle to find comfort in my body sometimes, it, you know, I'm telling you, if you know what I'm talking about, and I know you do, then you have to try Hormone Harmony.
Yes, you do. The struggle is real. And Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon, y'all, for real. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds.
Wow. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life, okay? So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms with hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold, like...
Okay, can I just say hot flashes and night sweats? They are wrong. They're just wrong and evil.
Yes, they are. And racing thoughts and low moods. Let me tell you something. My mind is like a chattering monkey all night long.
You know, feeling tired all the time. Poor sleep.
Yes, and no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Okay.
I know you do.
Okay. So Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things.
And for a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code Frangela at checkout.
That's happymammoth.com and use the code Frangela for 15% off today. Welcome back. Democrats won a special election and flipped George Santos's seat in the House.
I mean, you say his name is Swazi? Is that how you say his
Swazi,
name?
Swazi, yeah, Swazi.
Tom Swazi defeated Republican Biscuit Maisie, something like that. Biscuit.
Yeah.
Pillip.
Yeah. Pillip, Biscuit. Yeah. to take the vacant seat, the seat vacated by Santos, who was indicted on a charge of fraud and then expelled from Congress. When Swoozy is sworn in, Republicans will control 219 seats and Democrats will control 213, meaning Republicans will only be able to lose two seats to pass legislation on party line votes if all members are present and voting. After New York third district flipped from red to blue, Santos texted a group chat with the top New York Republicans in the House saying, "I hope you guys are happy with this dismal performance and your 10 million futile bullshit cost the party. Ooh. I look very forward to most of you losing due to your absolute hate-filled campaign to remove me from Congress arbitrarily. Now go tell all the Republican base what you fucking idiots did, and good luck raising money next quarter."
Meow, 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 meow. Georgie is, oh, you know what? You can count on George Santos to be petty. That's for sure. You can count on that for him to be like, nah, 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 nah. He is so, was he wearing his Fendi? What was
totally
he wearing?
Totally. Totally.
Like, but you know what?
You know what? You know, it's so interesting to me that George Santos has the ability to turn around and turn and shake his finger at anybody.
Yeah.
And say, "How dare you? You were wrong." You know, because you are being brought up on charges. You were kicked out of Congress. And you can still, this is what I love about the human mind.
Thank you.
You can still twist your fucking lips into, twist them and puff that air out your with your full chest and say, "You're a fucking idiot."
It's amazing. You gotta give it to him. The audacity to stand there wrong as wrong can be, talking about ha 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 ha.
Totally.
Like, I mean, but this is the thing. There is no Republican Party.
No.
And watching Trump take over, particularly this week with his daughter-in-law now, like, in charge of, you know, a co-whatever, RNC, like, it's
a joke.
It is. And this is the thing. I mean, George Santos is correct in this reason. They supported him for most of this crap coming out about him because of just having his vote, because the majority that they have in the House is so slim. And he's not wrong that suddenly they got not okay with with malfeasance and with, you know, bad behavior. And it's really because of the Republicans in New York, you know, who really spearheaded this. And it's weird to see the party, you know, have these moments of ethics, these ethic fevers, if you will. They don't seem to last very long or cover very much. But they, you know, suddenly they think, "Oh, well, we can't have somebody who's done this in government," and they get rid of them.
Right.
But yeah, it takes their little majority, which was already slim, down that much less. And now can nobody be sick?
No. And you know what? And it's all on y'all, because you know why? You have bad policies, bad ideas. You know, you have no policies, okay?
No, well, they changed their entire platform. It's just whatever Trump says. Whatever Trump says.
Speaking of which, House Republicans voted to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas on their second try by a single vote, because this, you know, the slim majority politics and decisions, and you know, and it's a paper cut. And why are you paper cutting the government? Why are you hurting and harming the government? The man is in the job. He's not going anywhere. He hasn't done anything wrong. You won't send money to the border.
And the Senate's not going to do this.
No. The vote was 2014 to 2013, with the three Republicans voting against the impeachment, which alleges that Mayorkas intentionally violated federal immigration laws and blocked congressional oversight of the Department of Homeland Security. Mayorkas is the first cabinet member to be impeached since William, is it Belknap? I think, Secretary of War under Ulysses S. Grant
somebody all
in 1876, y'all.
Bad year for black people. They all are. Better than some.
And then this bullshit. Finally, the head of the House Intelligence Committee warned of a quote-unquote serious national security threat and called on Biden to declassify all information related on it. No, what he did was he caused a national security threat, is what he did.
How'd he do that?
You know, by leaking information and talking about, you know, Russia having the capability of putting stuff in space.
So, nukes
in space. There is a reason why we have committees. And that is because it is a filter of information. And speaking of which, you're going to sit here out of one side of your mouth. Not one. Then all of a sudden, did you notice all of a sudden we got all that funding for the Ukraine, right?
Yes.
Because out of one side of your mouth, you don't want to support and give money for Ukraine to fight off what Trump is clearly signaling and saying, I will bust up NATO. I will make sure, Putin, that you have a clear route through the Ukraine to Poland, to any place else that you want to get on the fucking map.
Let me pre-approve Trump with his awful statements through Truth Social or whatever this past week. Let me pre-approve you invading any country you want to.
That's right.
The most redonkulous.
Yeah. 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 So meanwhile, you got everybody playing to Putin. But meanwhile, you got somebody over here going, hey, did you know that Russia could put nukes in the fucking space? And it's like, well, if you would allow us to put forth the defenses on the fucking ground that we need, maybe these bitches wouldn't have enough time to be putting shit in space.
Yeah. It's just, you know, the problem is right now, it feels to me like, you know, then you hear people saying there's no reason for alarm, blah, you know, calm down. I just want us to be free of Donald Trump. Just because it feels like everything that it's just, let's just disrupt, throw things at the camera. Any day that we can get people talking about anything other than these 91 indictments, you know, is a win for Trump. Like, and it just feels like, let us churn up this, let us churn up that. Like, it's...
He is P.T. Barnum at, you know, on steroids. And here we are every day discussing, you know, a spectacle, a promise, something he's thrown out, you know,
but
you
not,
name it.
You know, not the things that have happened, not the
right
things that are a problem.
The Senate approved $95 billion in aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, finally, by a 70-29 vote, despite efforts of Trump, hard right Republicans, and House Speaker Mike Johnson to kill the legislation. Senate Republican support for the deal increased overnight, with 22 Republican senators voting in favor of the package. And this is what I'm sitting here saying, is that standing in the way they've been, that's all they've been doing, is standing in the way of this money.
Yep, that's all they've been doing. And I just, they don't do any work. All the Republicans do is stop work from being done, and I'm so sick of it.
You know what? And that is our final word, everybody. And now it's time for emails. Get your emails.
Thank you for writing us at frangela08@gmail.com. Our first email, my hubby, is from Sharissa. Mm-hmm. Frangela, hello. 2-decade-long Steph Head here. I love to listen to your segment every Friday, but now my hubby has decided, after decades of listening to Stephanie Miller from another room, and after watching the last recorded Sexy Liberal show, he is now your number one fan. And he's such white bread, I can't even tell you. Or rather, I'll tell you what. He comes home on Fridays, and if I'm listening to the Stephanie Miller podcast, he's all, oh, is Frangela coming on? It's Friday. Anyway, just wanted you to know you have yet another fan, because of which I'm going to have to support you on Patreon.
Thank you. That
is a real burden, mind you. It will be his birthday present. Love to you both from St. Paul. Charissa. Thank you.
Thank you both. You both are, we're fans of you. And this is from Donna Z. She says,
our official travel agent, I believe.
Yes, she is. She says, hey, ladies, as a Jewish vegan of 40 years, oh, girl, I'm proud of you. I am feeling extremely isolated and pained by the recent tensions in the vegan community surrounding the war in Gaza. I actually cry every night. I'm sorry, Donna. While I stand firmly against all violence and oppression, I have also faced an onslaught of anti-Semitic rhetoric from those who have turned this complex geopolitical conflict into an excuse to attack Jewish people and our right to exist. And that is the perfect way to articulate what is happening. It's piggybacking this geopolitical situation into a situation as an excuse to backdoor hate Jewish people. And I have found, that's me saying that, and this is me continuing, Donna, I'm sorry. I have fought for the rights of all lives, human and non-human, for my whole adult life. The Jewish people have always been supporters of human rights, and so I don't understand why this is happening. Thank you for acknowledging and supporting the Jewish community during this painful time. It means a great deal to know that there are allies standing with us against anti-Semitism. It has been heartbreaking to see a community I care so deeply about become so splintered. There is no room for hate speech or denial of human rights on any side of this conflict. I believe most vegans fundamentally stand for nonviolence, unity, and universal compassion. I hope we can embrace those principles now during this painful time and not allow the actions of governments to pit us against one another.
There we go.
There it is. I appreciate all efforts to build bridges, elevate Jewish vegan voices with compassion, and call out anti-Semitism wherever it arises. Only through open and respectful dialogue can we stay true to the underlying unity of our movement in working to end the oppression of all groups. I welcome a thoughtful discussion on how we can reaffirm those universal values. So do we. I love you both in solidarity and hope, Donna Z. We love you, Donna Z.
We love you, Donna Z. Thank you very much.
I'm Frances Callier.
I'm Angela V. Shelton.
We are Frangela, and thank you so much for listening to The Final Word.